Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around the district and from further afield. Now the birds are singing, the frogs are croaking in my pond, and the weed seedlings are starting to spring up, which also means that it's a great time to start planting vegetables on your allotment, in your garden, or in a pot on your windowsill. And a group of people who know all about growing fantastic fruit and veg are St Albans Food Smiles. It's an exciting time for them, and I spoke to Janet Bruce, chairman at Food Smiles, to find out more. And thank you very much for joining me. First of all, congratulations. I believe that Food Smiles has been shortlisted for a Mayor's Pride Award.
It has indeed. It's the second time we've been shortlisted for awards. So, yeah, it's been a real sign of the success we've had this year.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, fingers crossed with you for that. Now, Janet, just to start off, just give us a very quick reminder of basically what Food Smiles do.
It's a community organisation, really. Although we're member-based, it's all about trying to encourage people to eat quality food, growing using organic principles.
Yeah.
So we're really increasing the local food production and
right.
interest in that area.
Okay, so and you have sites where you grow lots of veg. People give their labour, as it were, and then get a veg box each week. Sounds great. Now, you must be busy at the moment. What are you planting now?
At the moment, we've just seeded broad beans, leeks. Rocket's been in for a while. Our broad beans, unfortunately, we had a bit of a sorry tale there. Some mice got in over the weekend.
Oh,
so
no.
We've been trying peppermint oil to when we've replanted them to see if that will keep the mice at bay.
An interesting one. Perhaps anybody else having problems with mice might like to try then. So, yep, sounds great. Sounds like some delicious things coming up in the summer. Now, slightly more unusual. Tell us a bit about your hop collective this year.
Oh, there. That's very interesting. That's the Far Brew, which is a brewery down in Wheathamstead, which basically has encouraged us through connections to a number of us to actually buy a hop. So we're picking up our plants this weekend, and then we're going to grow them at our new site in Hixbury.
Right, okay. Oh, any plans for what you might do with your crop?
Well, the crop actually goes back in September time, assuming all's well. It goes back to Far Brew, and then we get invited to a party to drink it. So it's a win-win situation.
All good then, isn't it? Fantastic. Well, that sounds like quite an interesting experiment, doesn't it? Now, you started off at Hammond's End Farm, which is over near Harpenden. Tell us about your recent expansions. Where are your new sites?
Well, last year we took over just attending the Courtyard Cafe Garden, which was basically looking after the herbs and encouraging people to know all about those.
Right, and that's outside the Courtyard Cafe just on Hatfield Road in St Albans.
It is indeed, yeah, so that's a really nice connection.
Yeah.
And then recently we've taken over a small piece of land at Hixbury, which is part of the Community Development Agency.
Right, okay, that's just over on the, east side of St Albans.
Yeah, just near Highfield Park, where there's lots of other allotments and
right.
the earthworks.
Okay, and this is like another sort of allotment-type site thing that
you're... It is, yeah. It's enabling us to extend our crops a bit more. We've grown at Hammond's End, but we've also now got the Hixbury site.
Right.
And enables a few people that live that way to also tend more locally.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I was just about to ask you about that. So your members live all over the sort of St Albans district. Will you now be sort of splitting your workforce between your different sites?
Well, predominantly the workforce is very much needed at Hammond's End because that's the big site. And then there's just a few members that have indicated they'd like to also work at the St Albans site.
Yeah. Yes, and of course you've got your polytunnels, haven't you, at Hammond's End, which presumably are an important thing to help your production.
Absolutely. We've got four tunnels there, which means we've got all-round crops, which is a great way forward.
OK. Now, you're looking for some new members. What should members be prepared to do? What's their function at Food Smiles?
Come up and join in, really. There's all sorts of ages, all sorts of sexes come up, and it can either be on a Wednesday afternoon or at the weekend. We tend to have quite a group on Wednesdays that come and drink a cup of tea and have a piece of cake, but also may do some digging, watering, planting.
Yep.
We've got a few people who are building compost bins.
Yep.
obviously keeping pests at bay. We put lots of beer out during the summer to try and keep the slugs at bay.
Yeah.
We've had some success.
Right.
So very much people do what they want to do within the parameters of what's needed.
So all the usual allotment-y sort of things, but instead of doing it by yourself, instead doing it with a bunch of, as you say, a good varied bunch of people.
Absolutely, which I think is so much more fun. And, you know, when it doesn't always go well, at least there's someone to commiserate with you.
Absolutely. And in return for that, you get the veg box. Is this every week of the year? Or
It's roughly 9 months of the year that we undertake to give a veg box. The winter season's obviously not so good.
Yeah.
And people undertake to do 7 hours a month or 4 hours a month, depending on how much time they have available.
Okay. And there's also a small cost involved. How does that work?
Well, the more hours you do, the less cost. So if you do 7 hours, then it's £75 a year. If you do 4 hours, then it's £150 a year.
Right. Okay, then. And as you say, in return for that, lovely organic vegetables for pretty much 9 months of the year.
That's exactly it.
Lovely. Okay, now you've got some open days coming up. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those?
We have, actually. By the time this goes out, we will have had our first one on Wednesday, but we have two coming up. This coming Saturday the 18th and Saturday the 25th. Between 2 and 5 o'clock, we're just welcoming everyone to the site to come and have a little look, really.
And this is your site at Hammond's End Farm?
At Hammond's End, that's right.
Right, okay, and that's just on the road between Harpenden and Redbourne. Anything particularly be going on, or is it just going to be, you know, the usual stuff?
Well, we'll be doing our usual. Yeah, it's one of them's combining with our big working parties, which is our once a month Saturday where many more people go and muck in. But yes, we're still doing a few seed planting, so there may be an opportunity for people to get involved if they want to.
Lovely. Jolly good. Excellent. Well, that sounds fantastic. Hope you get lots of new members coming on to that. Good luck at the Mayor's Pride Award. And next time, well, I hope I'll be joining with you in tasting the beer.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Janet.
I was there talking to Janet Bruce of Food Smiles. Sounds quite fun, doesn't it? A little bit of digging, nice slice of cake, and of course the beer to look forward to as well. Anyway, now, it won't be long before the countryside around here is ablaze with fields of bright yellow oilseed rape. And whilst it might seem to have lots of flowers, it's not as good for pollinators as it might be. Jonathan Carruthers, a scientist at Rothamsted Research, has just published the results of his PhD, and he looked at how this crop that is popular with farmers could also be more popular with pollinating insects. Jonathan, thank you for joining me. So why did you decide to undertake this study? What was it aimed at, improving the oilseed rape crop yield, or was it because you wanted to do something good for pollinators?
Well, the crop yield can benefit from this, but really we were interested in this because there's such a concern about flower-visiting insects in agricultural landscapes, especially in the UK. The concern really being that their numbers have declined, and we think this is mainly due to the fact that there isn't enough food available for them. There are some other factors as well, but that seems to be one of the main reasons for their declines. So we were looking at hopefully trying to find a way that we could improve the situation for them, providing them with more food without having to take any land away from producing crops.
Right. OK, so this land, as you say, the land is already used for oilseed rape, but it's actually making that crop better for the pollinators. It's sort of like dual purpose, I suppose, really.
That's right. We were hoping to find a kind of a win-win situation.
Yeah, OK. Now, pollinators, is it just bees that you're concerned about, or was it all insect pollinators?
I'm particularly interested in all of the different varieties of bees. So there's 250 species of bees in the UK. Obviously, the honeybee is perhaps the most famous of those. Then there's about 25 different bumblebee species and lots of solitary bees. But other flower-visiting insects will come to oilseed rape as well, so hoverflies being a particularly notable example.
Yeah, OK. So tell us how you conducted the experiment then.
In order to compare the different varieties of oilseed rape for how good they might be for the nutrition of the insects, what I did was I grew the plants of oilseed rape in a glasshouse and then collected nectar from their flowers. So it was quite a fiddly process.
Right, so you collected the nectar from the flowers. This isn't the bees collecting, this is you collecting it.
That's right. In fact, we actually had to keep the bees away so that we would know how much nectar the plants were producing on their own without the bees taking any.
That does sound very fiddly indeed. And you compared the amount of nectar from different types of oilseed rape to see which one would be most rewarding for the bees.
That's right, we did. We collected the nectar from lots of different varieties, 24 different varieties of oilseed rape.
Right.
And then we were able to measure that nectar.
Okay. And did you find that there was a big difference?
We did, actually. We found that the amount of sugar in the nectar and the volumes of nectar did vary quite significantly between the different varieties of oilseed rape.
Right. Okay. And so now you've found oilseed rape that is better for pollinators. How can this go further? How can farmers use this, what you found?
Well, what we've shown is that if you're growing a field of oilseed rape, it does matter which variety you grow in terms of how good it is for pollinators.
Right.
So that the importance of that really is to show that if you're a plant breeder, it is possible to breed varieties of oilseed rape that are better for pollinators. And that might be something that plant breeders are interested in doing. And eventually we could see fields in the UK planted with oilseed rape varieties that are more bee-friendly.
Fantastic. So hopefully, ultimately, this should benefit all of our pollinating insects. Those great big yellow fields should be much better for them than they are now.
Absolutely. That's what we hope to see.
Jolly good. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming and sharing that with us. That was very interesting. And as you say, let's hope that pollinators benefit in the long run. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
I was talking there to Jonathan Carruthers, and you can read more on our blog, rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com. Now, good news for Robert Crowder, who you remember came on Environment Matters about September last year, I think it was. He was crowdfunding to buy trees to plant at Long Acres Public Space, and they managed to raise all the money they wanted and planted the trees at the weekend. So congratulations to him, and they look fantastic, the trees do. I went past them today. Now, you do give us a shout if you'd like to come and talk about your ideas for your public space. And remember, if you do have a project idea that involves getting people outside, then you can apply for Tesco's Bags of Help Fund. And again, if you listen to the podcast on our blog, rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com, that Daniel Dugard from Groundworks gave about the Tesco's Bags of Help Fund, then you'll be able to find out who is eligible and how to apply. Or alternatively, if you think that you could have an eligible project and would like to find out more, St Albans CVS is holding a help session where you can meet Stephen Windmill, who is Tesco Bags of Help Hertfordshire Enabler. That's on Monday. That's Monday the 20th. It's at St Albans Civic Centre. It starts at 1:30. Now, Stephen will be outlining the new and improved Bags of Help scheme that Daniel told us about between 1:30 and 2. And then there will be a chance for you to discuss your project ideas with him after that. So that's on Monday at St Albans Civic Centre, 1:30 to about 3 o'clock, when you can find out more about the Tesco Bags of Help Fund. And then another event you might be interested in, on Friday there's going to be a talk at Aylett's by Pippa Greenwood, who is a gardening celebrity. It's at 11:30. Pippa is a highly trained botanist and well-known gardening expert who will be at Aylett's, as I said, on Friday, 11:30. And she will be helping you make the most of the growing months in your garden. Pippa has run the plant pathology department at RAH Wisley, appeared regularly on television, written best-selling gardening books, is a regular panellist for gardening shows on other channels, and she's a passionate grow-your-own specialist. And she's going to be delivering an informative talk to help you extend the growing season with earlier planting and with later harvesting.
And then the talk will be followed by a question and answer session. So take along all of your gardening problems. Perhaps you find that the peppermint oil doesn't help when the mice eat all of your broad beans like they had done at Food Smiles. Or perhaps you've even got other things that you might like to ask about. Now, the event is free of charge and no booking is necessary. You can just turn up at 11:30. Now, the event is kindly sponsored by Haxnix. And if you do arrive early, then you can support the Goodwill Coffee Morning in Aylett's Dahlia Coffee House, which is in aid of the Green Fingers charity. So perhaps if you went along at 11 o'clock and had a nice coffee beforehand and then went along to hear Pippa Greenwood talking about extending your growing season and answering your questions. OK, now you can find all the information from today's show on our blog, rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com. You can also listen to the podcast, which you can find on rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com, or you can also find that on the environment pages of the Radio Verulam website. And it's not just this week's podcast that you can find, but you can also find the other podcasts that I've spoke about. You'll find those on rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com. So you can listen to Robert Crowder talking about his crowdfunding and his ambitions for Longacre. And you can also hear Daniel Degard talking about the Tesco Bags of Help Fund. So you can find out whether that's suitable to your project. There's all sorts of stuff there, all sorts of interesting interviews from probably about over the past couple of years. Do have a listen there. Then on the blog also is the information. We always love to hear from you. You can tweet us at @RV_environment. You can email us at environmentonrv@gmail.com. Next week, we'll be hearing from Ben, who's turning waste food into fabulous, edible, healthy food. Sounds like a fantastic business idea, doesn't it? We'll be hearing from Ben next week. Until the same time then, thank you for listening.